Selling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's time for Talking with TD.
Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. That's right. You are now talking with TD. I am your host, Teron Davenport. It is another week, another opportunity to talk shop. We got a loaded show today. This one's going to be really good. We're going to roll right into Run TMC. And then after that, we got a four-pack. This reminds me of back in the day, right? You know, I remember back when I was younger, I used to go get a four-pack. Old E, 16 ounces. We got a four-pack for you today, but this is coming from the West Coast. University of Washington. We got Levi Onwuzurike. Uh-huh. You like the way I said that. We got Keith Taylor Jr. We got Elijah Molden and Joe Tryon. Uh-huh. This is going to be a four-pack of Washington prospects. Can't wait for that conversation.
Nice.
I couldn't wait for this one either. And, you know, that being said, let's go ahead and get a little music here. That's what I'm talking about. What is it? Yeah. Each and every week, this is what we do. We go to the phone lines. We bring in Roy Tarpley to help us out. Here he is, ladies and gentlemen. A.K.A. Antoine Carr. We got Chris Sanders on the line for Run TMC. What's going on?
What's up, big dog? You look like Donald Driver and Mookie Blaylock. That's what you look like.
Oh, Kevin Willis has jokes. I see.
Or you know I got to go to my ace king, and that's the chief, Robert Parrish, man.
The chief.
How you doing, man? Earlier you was talking about a four-pack, man. My four-pack was now-laters.
Now-laters. Yeah.
Oh, now-laters. We call them now-laters, but it's now-and-laters.
Yeah, cherry, I know what you're talking about.
Strawberry, banana. Come on, man.
You ain't fool with the grape ones?
Huh? What? Gimme. That's a gimme.
Yeah, the great ones. Those are my shot, man.
Yeah. They don't know about that. They say now and later. It's now and later.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Shoot, 15 cents for
a penny. Now it's $2.
Yeah, right? Just like anything, the inflation, man. And you know what? Inflation is actually a good point to transition to our conversation because, boy, if one thing has inflated, it's the cost of pass rushers.
Man.
Oh, my goodness. So
there ain't too many of them out there, is it?
Not too many that could go in and just change a game. The ones that just say, you know what? I had enough of this, man. We about to go switch things up a little bit. There aren't too many of those guys that could do that. And obviously, the amount of guys that could do that here in Nashville has been depleted. They don't have many that could do that. So let's get into it because, you know, free agency is coming. It's something that they absolutely have to do is add some pass rushers. So free agent-wise, are there any guys that stand out to you that this team should get that will really change things for this defense?
No, I don't really think so. I mean, I think they're going to have to get in the draft. And I like – there's two guys. There's two guys from Miami. One is Phillips, and the other one is Gregory. I can't pronounce his last
name.
Rousseau. I mean, them some dogs. They're long.
Yeah.
They got good speed. I'm not saying they're Javon Kearse-like, but they're long like Javon Kearse-like. Does that make sense?
It does. I understand what you're saying.
And the thing about it is, TD, is we can't keep getting just a guy. We need an impact guy.
Yeah.
We need a guy that's going to come in and say, okay, I'm giving you 12 sacks off the cuff. We need that. And I think that was a misconstrue we had last year when we got Clowney. Clowney is not a sack guy. Clowney is a run stopper. He's a disruptor. We don't need a disruptor. We need sacks.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. Honestly, looking at the Clowney thing, I thought that would help open things up for other guys because he occupies so many blocks. He occupies so much attention. And, you know, it's no mystery why Jeffrey Simmons was really off to such a hot start with Clowney in the lineup, but I thought it would help Landry a little bit more. But even, you know, you mentioned Rousseau, you mentioned Phillips. I've been on record multiple times saying I like Phillips more than Rousseau. I may not be as high on Rousseau as everyone else is. You definitely see the athleticism. For me, you know, he's better from the interior. But, I mean, that being said, if you look at these free agent guys, though, so Bud Dupree, you pass on him?
Yeah, I will pass on him.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you why. It's because – with the COVID stuff, we don't know how practice is going to be. So if he's coming off, he had an ACL right at Pittsburgh.
Yes.
And how is he going to really come back fully healthy when he got hurt late in the season?
Yeah.
That's not good. Listen, he's a dog when he's healthy. He is a dog. But you got to understand, if this is an ankle, this is an ACL now. So how are you going to be able to go full speed, and how are you going to assimilate the game when you're not going to be able to be on the field if the COVID stuff is going on? So that's why I would shy away from it.
Yeah, and especially the thing that really stands out to me is just like having that force put on that knee, right? Because
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, because a lot of times like you're firing off the ball and you're generating that contact and you're hitting them.
Yeah.
And, a lot of that comes from your knees. So how is that going to transfer? So I want to see what that happens with that. But, let's look at some of the other guys, right? So Bud Dupree, mm-hmm. we said no to him. Matt Judon.
Ooh, I mean, Judon's he's a dog now. I mean, I know he played for Baltimore and he made some good plays, but where would he fit on this Titans defense? I don't know.
What
I'm saying? Yeah. Let me ask you a question. Is he better than Landry right now?
I think it depends on what you're looking for. For me, I don't think he's an impact player that will warrant that money that he's trying to get. What I mean? I'm not going above $10 million, honestly.
No.
So move that one aside.
I think sometimes we, no disrespect to the both of the names, sometimes we get excited about the name.
Yeah.
You got to understand, it's got to be a good fit for the Tennessee Titans system. And I just don't know, does he fit our system? Where would you put him at?
Well, I have three guys that I think would absolutely fit what the Titans do. And the first one, and I've said his name so many times, and every time someone asks me about free agent edge guys, like, look, Carl Lawson is the name that comes up for me. And
he's from Cincy, right?
From Cincy.
Ooh, he's a dog.
Yes, exactly. And the thing is, you could drop him down, if you want to go an even front. He could, he'd get into that four-point stance and fire off. And then the thing is standing up and coming off the edge, the strength that he has, the hands, the quickness. He will hit you with a Euro step from time to time, too. I think he's the kind of ascending player that would be perfect for the Titans. And also, he could play that strong side, right? He's a guy you could, use and have him as a force against the run. You don't have to drop him into coverage. It would complement Landry really well. So I think he fits. Do you have any thoughts on Carl Lawson?
Yeah, I do. And the one thing I love about him, he's got long arms.
Yes, yes.
He's got really long arms. And, when you have long arms, you can set the edge.
Yep.
Come on, that's huge. See,
yep.
When we say things like that, people are like, oh, set the edge. Oh, anybody can do it. No.
No.
A lot of people can't do that.
Yeah.
When you have a guy that long that can set the edge but also rush the quarterback, I mean, that's huge. That's something that we didn't have last year.
That's major.
When you add him to the mix of this defense, he just made Simmons better. He just made Landry better. He just made all his defenses better is because he's going to demand attention. And when you have that, a guy like that that just wrecks shop, it makes everybody better. Just give you an illustration. I know these guys are different positions, but you remember Haynesworth?
Mm-hmm.
Haynesworth wrecked shop. So when he wrecked shop, everybody around him was absolutely better. And I think this dude is exactly the same. They're in different positions, but they can have the same impact.
Yeah, no, I could agree to that. And there are a couple other guys. Romeo Okwara from Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
He's another player, bigger guy, but he is absolutely someone else that, brings that violence. He comes off the ball really well. So that's one. Another one, Trey Hendrickson, is very interesting. Now, for me, when I bring him up, I don't think of him as much of a stand-up guy, but you talk about a motor, and you talk about a guy that plays every snap like it's his only one. Man, that's what Hendrickson brings. And he finally got the opportunity to play a full season, start a full season, right, because Marcus Davenport was injured. He got the chance. He gave you 13.5 sacks. I think that's something that will warrant some attention. And the thing I like about those three guys, you're not looking at $15 to $16 million a year. I think you could get Carl Lawson on a 4-year, $40 million type deal.
Mm-hmm.
Okwara and Hendrickson, 3-year, $36 million type deal. And these are all younger guys.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at it from their perspective and like from their agent perspective. Let's go in, sign a 3 to 4 year deal for excellent money.
Yeah.
Ball out and then turn around and sign a bigger. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
they'll be out of their contract by the time they're 30 years old.
Yeah, and I really like Hendrickson. And
yeah.
the reason why he reminds me of Vandenbosch.
Hmm.
And the reason why he reminds me of Vandenbosch is because they consistently are on the run. When I say consistently on the run, that means if the ball's on the other side of the field, I'm hunting you down. And that's the kind of catch we need on this defense. The guys are going to go hunting. We don't need just anybody out there. We need to start hunting. When I say hunting, that means hunting the quarterback down and getting your 13 million those 13 sacks or 14 sacks that we need.
Yeah, no more times of quarterbacks being able to chill back there. You know, pack a lunch, eat that lunch, and then, you know, share it with somebody else. You can't have that anymore. They absolutely have. Because, you know, if you have it like that up front, I don't care if you got Deion, Rob Woodson, Dale right. Carter, you know, in your nickel package with Ed Reed and Brian Dawkins in the second. It's not going to work because you can't expect anybody to cover any receiver for, you know, seven seconds. It's not going to work. So they definitely need to address that. Now, one other guy. Now, this is a different tier. Well, two, because I always like Marcus Golden. You know, he has a motor.
Where's he from again?
Mizzou.
Let him know. Let the listeners know.
He's from Mizzou.
You know this, man.
So I like him. But yeah. the guy I wanted to bring up, because that's going to segue us into another situation. That's Ryan Kerrigan. And mm-hmm. I think, you know, there was a free agent out there that a lot of people clamored for. He played in a division,
mm-hmm.
and he drew a lot of attention. And we'll get to him in a second. But I think Kerrigan will be a very solid consolation prize. And this is a guy that, you know, he has a couple 13-sack seasons himself. Now, it's been, what, 3 years or so since he's done that. But he still brings a similar type of effort and a similar ability to stand out in spurts as the other guy we're going to get into. Well, what are your thoughts on Ryan Kerrigan?
Man, I mean, we talk about it. I mean, just like a couple of years, he had 13 sacks. The potential's there. And that's the kind of cat that we need. I mean, we got to have a guy with a motor. We got to have a guy that gets to the quarterback. And at least if he gives you between 10 and 13 sacks, that's all you need. And just like you said, you can't have a quarterback sitting there eating lunch or eating, you know, Zaxby's or eating, you know, Sonic and then throw a pass. We got to have somebody to get to the quarterback, and I definitely think he has the potential to do that. So I think we should do maybe you know, go after him a little bit.
And the thing that I like about some of these veteran guys, right, you mentioned Kerrigan.
Mm-hmm.
I think when you get a veteran like Kerrigan or even like Marcus Golden, these are guys – that could come in and help establish that pass rushing culture. These are guys that Harold Landry, whoever you should mm-hmm. draft, will be able to learn from. We're going to have Joe Tryon on the show a little bit later. This is a guy that Joe Tryon could learn from. So I think that's something really to look at because, you know, whenever you have someone that has been there and done that at your position,
mm-hmm.
it's always helpful to be able to rely on that guy. Hey, look, I was in this situation. What would you mm-hmm. do? And I think that's another good thing about a guy like Kerrigan.
Yeah, and also, you know, they're going to watch this guy. They're going to watch how he uses his hands. They're going to watch how he uses his feet because he's done there. And then he can turn back to them and say, okay, listen, you've been doing the same move for 3 years, Landry. We need to change this up and really help him develop into the player that he can be. So even though he's going to get to the quarterback, but he also brings some leadership qualities of showing him how to get it done.
No doubt about it. Now, the guy that we were going to talk about, it's actually a really good opportunity for us to introduce a new segment that we're going to have. We even got some music for Elijah. Let me get that. Yeah, you heard what the guy said. I'm mad. So this is actually an opportunity for Chris Sanders to explain what he's mad about. It's called Sanders is Salty. And I know that there's a certain guy that he is salty about.
Yes.
What do you have for us?
Man, it's a new segment we started called Sanders is Salty. I'm salty about J.J. Watt not coming to the Tennessee Titans. Salty. I mean, have you had this steak that you getting ready to eat, and it's just real salty and it makes you have the gas face? I got the gas face right now. Because, man, if just imagine adding him to this Tennessee Titans roster. the motor. We talk about the motor, getting to the quarterback, leadership, teacher, all these things that we just talked about that the other guys have. Just imagine him adding to the mix of him, Simmons, Landry, Evans, all those cats. He would elevate those guys to get better. So I'm salty.
I get it. A lot of people are salty that he went to the Cardinals. There's a good amount. And I get it, you know. I'm not really salty about it because the money that he got, I don't think the Titans would have been able to accommodate. And I still think that there are better options. I still think Kerrigan is a better option just from a cost perspective.
Yeah.
And I think they could get similar impact from him. But hey, man, I get why you're salty about it, because J.J. Watt would have definitely helped take the defense to the next level.
Right, but here's the thing. Last thing is he already made about 100 some million. if you were just coming to the league and you get that, yeah, got you. But you already made a whole bunch of money. So Chris Sanders is salty.
You know what Frank told Tony in Scarface, right?
What'd he say?
Never underestimate the other guy's greed. Hey Chris,
boy.
Do you know what a hassa is?
Boy, you crazy. You still look like the Chief, man. You still like Robert Perry, man. I appreciate you.
Oh, man. Okay. And Tyrone Hill going to say that. I'll let you slide, Sam Cassell. I'm going to let you slide this week. And you didn't even tell me I look like Gary Coleman, so I appreciate that.
You look like his brother, Willis. That's what it is. Man, I appreciate you.
Yeah,
man.
This is always a fun segment to do.
Oh, my God. That's a gimme.
I hope the listeners had as much fun.
Oh.
And got to soak as much knowledge. We went a little over, but that's what we do, man. We just talk shop is what happens. So, Chris, we will holler at you next week, have something else to talk about. And before we move to the next segment where we're going to have Washington, our four standout players, let me remind you, rate, review, subscribe. First, what you got to do is search it. Talking with TD, Spotify, Google, iTunes, all of that good stuff. Wherever you listen to the fire, let us contribute to it. And Talking with TD, we'll be right back.
This is AJ Brown, and you're talking with TD.
I ain't got time for playing. I'm just saying, man, we out here trying to function. We out here trying to function.
All right, here we go. Talking with TD. This is a first. And, you know, that's what we do, Elijah. We come out with new and revolutionary things, and we manage to get – and this is a personal thing for me because I'm biased. I always say don't recruit by the school, but I evaluate by school with this school because I love UW players, and we got a nice four-pack. I said it's like when I used to go to the four-pack, get a four-pack of Ing Bing, you know what I mean? But we got a four-pack of players here. I'm just going to introduce each of them. We'll start with Joe Tryon. We got Levi Onwuzurike. Did I say that right?
Yeah, Onwuzurike.
Onwuzurike. I got to put the little twist on it. And we got Elijah Molden and Keith Taylor Jr. This is definitely what I call a four-pack. What's up, fellas? How are each of you guys doing?
Well, good, man. Doing well.
I see.
Doing good.
I just want to say happy birthday to Mr. Levi.
Yeah, you know what? That's how we'll bring the show in. We'll sing happy birthday to Levi, man. One, two, three. Happy birthday to you.
No,
happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Well deserved. So,
turn 18 today.
18.
Can I get a solo from E3?
Oh. Let me find out. We got an R&B singer on here?
No, I'm going to opt out of that one.
He retired.
That's what's up. Well, let's start it out with this because I know Levi, you and Keith, you guys were down in Mobile at the Senior Bowl. That's where I first got to, watch you guys in person. For you, Levi, and you've documented it, so let's just get a cliff notes. How was that experience for you down there in Mobile?
Yeah, I think it was a real important experience, just being able to get out there. And for me, since I opted out, being able to get back on the field was important. just to know I still got it, which I still got it. But yes, also going through interviews and talking to all them coaches, I felt like me and Keith were able to get ahead of the curve.
Yeah, no doubt. And Keith, how was it for you? Because, I mean, one-on-ones, you just like Levi, you were standing out. Man, I was really impressed with your game.
Yeah, man. I had a lot of fun down there. I thank Jim Nagy for giving me the opportunity to play down there. And I was just, I treated every day like it was game day, really. I just had fun with it. I just went out there, with something to prove. And, I think I did a pretty good job. I still have some things to improve on, but, we're going to still work on those.
Yeah, and I have to say this because I went through the same thing as you guys did. Right, that plane from DFW to Mobile was definitely different. Levi, I don't know how they managed to fit you on there, man.
Hey, let me tell you, bro. I almost couldn't play that week just because of that play. That was tight.
Yeah, no doubt. And then with you, Joe, you had a long preparation, right? And you started early on it. As far as the opting out and everything, what went into that decision and how has training been for you?
Man, a lot went into opting out, It was a lot of confusion up in the air, and ultimately I made my decision after gathering the information I needed. And, I've made strides, I've been able to get my body in the best shape, it's ever been. I feel ready to play in the NFL like if it was tomorrow. So, I've made a lot of strides, and I just can't wait to get back out on the field.
Yeah, man, I saw some of the pictures from, your workouts. You look like a He-Man dog.
Yeah, I started doing some of Levi's workouts. Started to pay off. You feel me?
Yeah,
I don't look like that guy. That guy's a superhero right now.
Well, I mean, speaking of superheroes, the guy on here that plays like one is Elijah Molden. Man, Elijah, watching your game, the versatility. I mean, I see you all over the place. Obviously, the similarities to Honey Badger have been made. How was last season for you? What was so big about returning and really capping off what has been a stellar career?
Yeah, man, I feel like I just kind of, I decided to come back, kind of like what Levi said with the senior boy. I feel like I had something to prove. I felt like my junior year, I just started figuring out how to play football. So I wanted to carry that onto my senior year and kind of wrap things up at UW. But, it was a four-game season, so it was short, but I'm grateful for what we got. Now on to the next.
And as I mentioned in the lead-in, I really like watching UW, and it's not just because of you guys. I mean, I go all the way back to when Deshaun Golson was a corner. He wore your number, Keith, number 8, and he moved to a safety for the 49ers. But even with that, you got Kevin King, you got it's just so many guys. So what is it like? Jimmy Lake, I know he's a major factor. Each of you guys have interacted with him. What would you say is the biggest thing that Jimmy Lake brings to the table from a DB side of things for you, Keith?
Man, he's a genius. That's all it is. He's a defensive mastermind. He basically built me and Elijah's, mental capacity to a level 1,000. So, we come in there, we go into his office, watch film with him every day. He has something new for us, a new tip for us every day. Just finding ways for us to, make plays in practice, make plays in the game. So I think that was a big thing.
What about you, Elijah, from a DB perspective?
Should I probably just say, one thing is just, that competitive edge he brings. To this day, Coach Lake is the most competitive person I've ever met. Everyone who's played for you will probably tell you the same thing. So just kind of, taking that fire and harnessing it, for ourselves, and especially in that DB room, we take pride in that. Playing with that fire, that edge.
No doubt. And he actually branched out to include the guys up front, which I know that's where it starts, in the trenches. So, Levi, for you, what has Jimmy Lake, meant for you?
I mean, Jimmy Lake has meant a lot, along with PK and Coach Malloy. But for me, it's all the defensive coaches. I mean,
yeah,
they teach us to just have that fire, have that dog mentality. For me, Azeem Victor, Keyshawn, Vita, Greg, all of them instilled in our defense. So, I mean, Jimmy Lake wants us up front, and that's just simply what we're going to do.
All right. I like that. Hey, Joe, can we get Can we get a PG version of your take on him?
All right. You know, like Levi was saying, you know, all the it's a pretty much a legacy when you play for that defense.
Yeah.
You go on that field, you playing for all the dudes that came in the past, you know. So it's just a standard that we hold ourselves to. You know, we're not going to come out there and go, you know, half-assed, you know. We got people to you know, live up to expectations that were made in the past. And, you know, we just want to pretty much destroy people when we're on the field.
No doubt. And then moving on to the combine, each of you guys, you know, you got your combine invites. It's going to be very different. For you, Elijah, what does this combine mean for you? Because you said you still have a lot to prove. So what does, you know, going to that combine, what are you looking to show? What does it mean for you?
Well, it's kind of confusing because, like, we got an invite to the combine, but, like, there's not really a combine happening.
There's
just pro day. So, like, I had high expectations going in the combine, but now I kind of adjusted that to the pro day. So, you know, it'll help with, you know, there'll be people out there watching because we got some talent up at UW. So, time will tell, really.
Now, I'm not sure if they're going to be able to lay eyes directly on you guys, but I know, like, for you, Joe, for you, Keith, you know, length is a big thing in your game, size and body structure. Do you think, like, if they could look at you and see you in person, do you think that's something that will just kind of add to the check mark in each of your boxes?
For sure, man. The eye test, man, it's for real. You know, they see KT, he like 6'4", damn near, so they're going to see them long arms. They're going to be like, oh, he for real. You know, his arms touching his kneecaps, for real.
He can scratch his knees standing up. Yeah. And then, so what about pro day? You know, you mentioned that, Elijah. Levi, pro day for you, what's the main thing that you want to show these personnel people at pro day?
I think for me, it's everything, honestly. I haven't played in a year, so. I think if I just come out, ball out in every drill, you know, every run, every jump, that's kind of what I'm looking forward to.
Joe, I guess you're going to do pro day shirtless, huh?
Man.
You already know.
Hey, bro.
You just going to go out there with no shirt on and not do any drills?
Hey, do what I got to do.
Yeah, no, I'm just messing with you. Keith, though, really? I think pro day would be really good for you because – you have that size, that length, but your footwork is outstanding. So I would imagine that's something you want to really continue to showcase like you did in Mobile.
No, yeah, for sure. You know, I also, you know, want to show them, you know, my strength, you know, everything, anything I can do to show them that I'm, you know, worth drafting, you know, I'm going to do it. That's, you know, that's just the mindset I'm going into with it. You know, I'm going to be, you know, the adrenaline's going to be pumping when we're out there. So, you know, it's going to be a fun day.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I want to kind of get into each of your evaluations of each other, right? So I'll start with you, Elijah. When you look at Keith, how would you pitch him to a GM who is considering drafting him?
Probably use two words. I probably say reliable and confident.
Okay.
I mean, I'm so used to like getting the call from the sideline and then looking at Keith out there at corner and like giving him the call. Really later on in our years, we had that connection where he already knew what I was going to say before I said it. But more than that, like he's a technician. He's the first one out there, the last one to leave more often than not. And, you know, he doesn't just approach football. Like the way he prepares for the game is impressive and it's something that has helped me as a player.
Levi, what's your take on Joe? Because you guys are up front next to each other in the trenches. What can you say about Joe and what he brings to the table?
I mean, Joe's overall a freak. He's a different player. He's a guy who doesn't have much film just because he came out a little younger, but he's instantly going to make an impact in the league. Long body, as you can see, he's built like He-Man. Dude's elite. His pass rush skills, he has a crazy arsenal of that. So I'm excited to see this dude ball out.
No doubt about it. Keith, let's go to you and just hear what you have to say about Elijah, your fellow DB.
Yeah, man. Kind of the same thing he said about me, you know, confident, very reliable, smart player, you know, and, you know, just always around the ball, just making plays, just a fiery competitor, you know, at all times, you know, back when we were doing friggin' just like 20-yard shuttles and stuff, like he's, trying to beat everybody in the races and everything like that. So, you know, any team that drafts Elijah is just going to – they're going to get a competitor, whether it's at nickel, at corner, safety, wherever you put him, he's gonna make plays, you know, whatever you need him to do. So that's what you get.
And I like that you mentioned at corner, because that's something – there's too many times where they say, well, Molden is a – he's a nickel guy. And I don't call him a nickel guy. I call him a DB because I think he could play outside mm-hmm. as well. You know what I'm saying? But just to kind of round it out, Joe, what's your take on Levi?
Man – you just put the tape on and you see 95 flying around the field, you know, whether that's disrupting, you know, blockers, taking on doubles, flying after screens, you know, he's the type of player that brings energy. You plug him in any position and he's going to make a spark. You know, it's just one of those dudes with heavy hands. You know, that's what you like to see. D-lineman with pop, you know, heavy effort player. You won't see much of him, you know, on the ground. The dude is just a freak, you know, got that Nigerian blood, you know, it's just what, it, you know, in his body.
It's what we do. It's what we do.
No doubt. No doubt. And to that point, I said it because I've said your name multiple times. Like when I'm on different shows and they ask me about players, you know, up front, I always mention you and I say it over and over again. I say the one thing every time you turn the film on, you're going to see the line of scrimmage being reestablished. And that's the thing. Mm-hmm. I want to give you credit for that. Because you do such a really good job of that, just being, as Joe said, disruptive up front. I want to move on just to some of the guys that each of you have watched. And Elijah, I had mentioned earlier the Honey Badger, right? Tyrann Mathieu is a guy. I want to share with each of you guys players that I think of when I watch you play. And obviously, he's someone. But Buda Baker, fellow UW DB, that's really the one that I think of when I watch you. Who were some guys that you watched, and what do you think of that comparison?
I think you're pretty spot on. I think, I watched a lot of other guys, too. I mean, really, like, throughout the years, I've been watching those two, like you mentioned, which is obviously, like, we're built the same. I watched a lot of, Stephon Gilmore, Jamal Adams, like people really from all over. And they each have, you know, something that makes them, and I try and take those components of their game and implement into mine.
Do you kind of take that personally when they try to funnel you into that nickel role?
I mean, I guess so. I mean, to me, it's like, if you say that, then you don't really know football because you don't watch my tape, but you don't see how I move and how I play, like just being straight up. That's what I think.
I was smiling, man. Levi, for you, I always, and it hit me mainly when I saw you down there in Mobile, and I said, man, this guy, he reminds me of Chris Jones. You know, just the way you play with that length and that power. And the thing that really reminded me of it was the pop. Like when you initially hit some of those centers and those guards, I was like, man, they really, like, they're feeling that. I would imagine he's somebody that you've watched. If that's not the case, who have you watched? What do you think of that comparison?
Yeah. That comparison spot on, actually. I watched Chris Jones, and then I watched Gerald McCoy.
Okay.
And obviously, I'm going to watch Aaron Donald when I want to, you know, hit some nice moves. But, yeah, Gerald McCoy and Chris Jones is kind of who I watch. Chris Jones kind of plays the same way I do, has the same bull pull that I do. And Gerald McCoy, his get-off is kind of like mine. I think I got the fastest get-off, faster than Joe, probably faster than KT, probably faster than E. So –
that's why you said Chris Jones.
And that, I mean, you know, when you're up there, when you're playing inside, that's the phone booth. Like everything, you get up on the lineman quicker. So it's important to have that get off. How did you develop that get off?
I think I just like embarrassing people.
I taught him how to do it. That's how.
Yeah, he's been working out. He's been working out with me and Elijah. Work out with me and him every Wednesday.
Oh yeah.
I just like messing people up. I think. Gotcha. The best way to do it is have a good get off and strike them first.
No doubt. So we're going to stop this just for 1 second. This is awesome content. I want to keep it going, fellas. But first, we're going to go ahead to a break. You know, we got to pay these bills. So we'll be right back.
Hey, man, this is Kevin Byer, and I'm talking with TD.
All my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle, pay the price.
Yeah, keeping it on the west side. That's right, keeping it on the west side. That's what we do, talking with TD. We're going to get back into this interview. Man, we got that four-pack for you. Levi Onwuzurike, Elijah Molden, Keith Taylor Jr., and Joe Tryon, all Washington prospects that are going to be selected in the first couple of days. So let's get back into it. Keith, I want to move on to you. And every time, you know, it's always the size, and but despite that size, the footwork and the way that you can move, I think that was really impressive, especially down there in Mobile. I mentioned one-on-ones. They tried double moves with you, and even in the game, right? My man from Clemson, Cornell Powell, he tried that, and it didn't work. I think your game like is very fluent, you know, and when I watch you, I think of a longer corner, a guy who was a lockdown corner, and he didn't get a lot of interceptions because he was always very sticky with the coverage. And Jimmy Smith is a guy that I think of when I watch you, fellow California guy. I don't know if you've watched Jimmy Smith or who were some other guys that you've watched, but what do you think of that?
Yeah, I've never seen Jimmy Smith. I've never like paid attention to him. Like obviously I've seen him play, but I've just never like, you know, really paid attention to like his tape and everything. I watch a lot of Jalen Ramsey. I think that's mm-hmm. one of my favorite corners in the game. All throughout college, I watched a lot of Sidney Jones because, okay. you know, he's a UW guy.
No doubt.
You know, I'm just in love. I'm in love with his technique. You know, that's something I pride myself on, you know, just watching him, you know, soft shoe, hard bump, like his techniques at the line of scrimmage when going up against receivers, you know, I tried to mimic every move. Like that was probably my favorite college DB right there. I can't wait for him to explode in the league as well. So,
yeah he's down there in Jacksonville. Yeah. I wonder, you know, that Achilles that he blew at that workout. I mean, it's a shame because he was actually my second rated corner of that class. I had Tre'Davious White rated number one.
Oh man,
yeah.
Nah, he would have went number one.
Yeah, number one corner, it would have been he or Marshawn Lattimore, one of them. But I mean, either way, you know, that was a stacked class of DBs.
Yeah, for sure.
Joe, for you. And I actually borrowed this from a friend of mine. He has his own site called Football Game Plan. And he mentioned Montez Sweat as a guy that you remind him of because of the length and that get off. I would imagine have you watched Montez at all?
Yeah, I grew up watching him, you know, especially after, you know, that freaky 40, you know, he had.
Yeah.
I wish I got the chance to do some type of like that, but, you know, about to do it at Pro Day.
Who were some of the other guys? Because I mean, you mentioned you grew up watching Sweat, but I would imagine cause you're a Seattle guy, right? So, yeah, I can't think of too many guys coming off the edge. But I mean, who were some guys that you watched growing up?
Yo, so like growing up, I've been a Seahawks fan, so I was watching, you know, Bruce Irvin, Cliff Averill.
Yeah.
I got the ability to train with Cliff Averill this offseason, so you know, I got some stuff in my toolbox. You know, and then other dudes in the NFL, like, you know, Anthony Barr, he's kind of like a versatile outside linebacker like me, but he's more in the box. And Chandler Jones is probably my favorite player to watch because, you know, he's just one of those dudes, lengthy, strong hands. You know, I feel like I really can emulate his game. You know, I take a lot from his film, try to implement in my game as well.
For you, rushing the passer, because, I mean, I've seen you use power. You know, you use hands. You and some of the guys, the interior guys, I see you stunting and things like that. Your toolbox is pretty vast. How did you manage to develop, you know, such a wide range of moves? And how do you know, like, okay, if he does this, I'm going to do that naturally? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that just – it really just comes with a lot of the reps that you do off the field, you know, like during practice. You know, just being able to play at multiple positions. You know, I played all around the D-line pretty much, you know, just being comfortable in those positions and just, you know, taking advantage when the time comes.
No doubt. And then for you guys, I want to go back to the DBs. And this is a Titan show. And one of the things that throughout the season, it seemed like, you know, when I would talk to guys like Kevin Byard, when I would talk to guys like Kenny Vaccaro, they would always say the communication. Like, we got to get the communication better. Their defense struggled a bit. As DBs, and you even mentioned it earlier, Elijah, about getting the call. How do you guys develop that natural communication where it's like, you could talk to each other without literally talking to each other?
See, I think it just comes down to trust at the end of the day. Like, KT's got to trust me that I know what I'm doing and I'm going to give him the right call. It's Nickel. Nickel's the one making the calls. And if I'm telling him to do something he's not supposed to do, it's going to make everyone look bad. So kind of like what Joe was talking about, like just reps, being around each other too, like not even just on the field, but getting to know each other and building relationships off the field. That even like, you know, makes your connection on the field that much stronger. So I think it's something that, you know, every year it gets, you know, you get a little better at it, especially when you've been working with, you know, the same corner for, you know, 4 years.
And how about you, Keith?
Yeah, man, Elijah said it spot on. You know, it just comes down to trust. Also, you guys have to just watch film together. Like, I think that's what me and Elijah and a lot of other DBs in that DB room did very well. We watched film together, and, you know, so we can just get, like, a feel for what our nickel is about to call in certain situations, you know, where the receivers are with their splits and everything. So, you know, it just comes down to that.
And then for you guys up front in the trenches, and I'll start with you, Levi, what's the key to executing a perfectly timed and just effective stunt?
Stunt is also trust, I think. it is also trust, but it's also both players being dominant. So I know if we're running a natty, I got to bring my man with me while also not kicking out that tackle. And then Joe has to just go under that strong. So it's about trust, but it's also about just doing your job, messing up your man. Because when you do stunts, it's basically one guy is sacrificing for the other guy to make the play.
Right. And what's your take on that, Joe?
Yeah, you know, you really just got to be willing to sell out for your teammate. You know, sometimes you're going to be the picker and then you're not going to get the sack. You know, sometimes you're going to be the looper. You got to really make it clean, you know, sell. Be the dude that comes and cleans up the play. So, like Levi said, you really got to just want to embarrass the dude in front of you. And after that, you know, just got to take advantage of the opportunities you get.
And I want to pick back off of embarrassing the dude in front of you, right? And as far as pass rushing, right? Do you have, like, what's the importance of having a plan? Like, I've talked to some guys, and they're like, man, I don't really have a plan. I just react off of what the lineman does. But then other guys are like, okay, well, I show them my speed to the outside, then I'm going to transfer it to speed to power, or I'm going to move it to, you know, show them that speed and then give them a move back inside. How do you approach pass rushing? You have a plan, or do you go reactionary? What's your take?
It really depends, you know. Some dudes, well, it works for some dudes, you know. Some dudes got, like, freaky, like, build, so they can just, you know, win in college going down people's faces. But like you said, having a plan is super important. If you want to be a dominant, you know, every down pass rusher that's consistently beating this man, you got to really study and create a plan before the game even starts. You know, it's I could say, you know, you're going to have a plan in the, like, before the game, but it's really a game within a game. You really are playing chess with the dude in front of you. And then once you got him on his toes, on his heels, then you got him, you know, set up for any move you want, pretty much.
And Levi, what do you do? Because, I mean, it seems like you got the Wreck-It Ralph hands, man. Like, you know what I mean? You put your hands on them and they're feeling it. Like I said earlier, is it just like, hey, look, I'm just going to overpower you? Or how do you approach it?
Overall, I'm just stronger than them. So that's kind of how I approach mine. I know I'm stronger than them, so I know I'm going to mess them up. But for me, I think before my early career at UW, I started off just kind of being reactionary, not really going in with a plan. But as I grew to understand pass rushing, I think you should go in with a plan. I think it clears your mind, and you're going 100% with that plan. So if I'm doing bull pull, all I'm thinking is I'm about to shock them and get over them. So I think having a plan is probably more better for defensive linemen, in my opinion.
Got you. And then, Keith, for you, you know, you're a taller corner, as we've documented multiple times here. When you're going against a smaller guy, like a smaller, shifty receiver, what's the key for you? Because you're naturally longer than them, so, you know, it might be a little more difficult. How do you handle pressing a smaller receiver?
Yeah, I think that just goes back to watching tape on him, you know, during that week. And then, you know, once it's game time, you just got to, you know, you figure out his weaknesses, put your hands on him. You know, you got to know that you're stronger than the other man in front of you. Basically, you know, what Levi said, just, you know, just try to dominate him as much as you can. You know, because, you know, most receivers, they don't take physicality well. So, you know, as long as you do that, I think you have the win.
Hey, man, hold up a second. I played receiver and I liked physicality, man. I'm not going to let you sit on this show and say most receivers don't like physicality, man. That's not going to work.
All right, man.
Speaking of that, Elijah, a lot of times, you know, at the next level, you're going to line up on the outside, but you're also going to line up at the nickel spot. And knowing you got guys that shift inside to give that bigger body, you know, what I call like a a power forward slot. How do you go against that physicality when you're naturally outmatched from a size perspective? I didn't say a heart, but a size perspective.
Yeah, I mean, like, more often than not, they put – I mean, if you're used to seeing a 5'10", shifty slot receiver, then out of nowhere you see, like, a 6'3", 6'4", body, like, chances are the ball is coming to you, right, like on a seam or whatever. So, really, like, you got to stay in front of him, and then in some cases you got to play underneath him and kind of resist him boxing you out. But if it's over the top, then really I don't treat a bigger receiver any different than I do a smaller receiver if it's a fade ball. At that point, like, when I'm even with him, I turn into the receiver. So, yeah.
Yeah, and one of the things, you know, about corners who are feisty like yourself, I always, when I had to go against you guys, I always said, you know what, I have to make sure I secure it through the tuck. Because if I go up and bring the ball in, and as I'm bringing it down, you guys are always punching at it. So I think that's another thing, and I've seen you do that on a few occasions. And as I said, this is a Titan show. I know Keith and Levi, you guys were down there in Mobile. I'm almost certain that the Titans spoke to you guys. Did either of those meetings stand out for you? I'll take that as a no.
Or which one? Wait. I don't know who you're talking to.
I mean, for both of you. Well, all right, we'll go to you, Keith. I want to keep you occupied. The Titans meeting, how did that – is there anything that you remember from it that stood out, or anything along those lines?
Oh, yeah, man, we had a good meeting. You know, it was just really them getting to know me, you know, just baseline stuff, really. You know, I think, yeah, we had a great conversation. I think we had it all pretty well.
Nice. And how about you, Levi?
Yeah, I'm the same. Real good conversation. But, yeah, it was most basic stuff. It was more introduction. That's kind of how it was with every team.
Yeah.
More like introductory stuff.
Got you. And Joe, mm-hmm. Elijah, did you guys have any virtual meetings or anything like that with them? I would imagine so, but – you know,
yeah, bro. I had one not too long ago, man. All I can say is that I like their grit, man. Mike Vrabel, a gritty dude, defensive minded coach. I really like what he has to offer.
Nice, nice. And how about you, Elijah?
Yeah, same thing on this end. I met with them today. I thought it went great. And yeah, like Joe said, they're an organization that I want to play for, no doubt, because they got that. Yeah, they play with a lot of energy and a lot of camaraderie. It seems like they enjoy playing. They love the game of football. Yes. So yeah,
very defensive minded. And before we get you guys out of here, I want to, because you know, there's always this West Coast bias, right? And I see a lot of you guys that are on the West Coast. You guys don't get the pub and the attention that you deserve. And you four are excellent examples of it, because I think at each of your positions, you guys are among the top. You know, so before we get out of here, I want to give each of you an opportunity just to tell my listeners exactly what it is you bring to the table and why you should be, you know, a top pick for the Titans. And we'll start with you, Keith.
For me, really, you're going to get a competitor, somebody that's going to work every day. And, you know, I'm always excited to play. I'm always pumped up to be out there on the practice field, whether it's, you know, practice, game day, film, anything, really. You're just getting somebody that loves the game of football. So that's me.
No doubt. And what about you, Joe?
Man, you're getting someone that don't have to come off the field. Very versatile, affects the game in any aspect. You know, and I'm also growing. You know, I don't see myself as having the ceiling. So I'm gonna just keep getting better. And you know, the sky's really the limit for me. It's all in my control. And I know the type of competitor I am. I'm not gonna allow myself to sell myself short.
And how about you, Elijah?
Probably say, like, first and foremost, I'm a DB who can handle a lot of stuff, a lot of information, a lot of responsibility. I'm versatile, so I can play anywhere on the backfield. And I also feel like, I mean, I create that spark when my team needs it most. USC game 2019, this past year we were down in Utah at 21. Down to Utah, I took 20 points at halftime, came out the first drive and got an interception. We ended up winning. So just stuff like that. And like everyone on this show, I know these guys, we all work hard. Everyone works hard in the league, but I think, you know, we don't put a limit on ourselves. Like Joe said, you know, we're just kind of starting to figure things out here as football players and as men.
Nice. Nice. I like that. And Wreck-It Ralph, We're going to go to you, Levi. You might have to get a shirt with that on it, man. I'm gonna have to send you one, man. I'm gonna talk to CJ and we're gonna work that out, man. But you know, let's tell me about yourself, man.
I'd love to have it.
Tell me what's your game? What do you bring to the table? Why should the Titans draft you?
Yeah, I'm a disruptor. I'm an offensive scheme killer. Whatever the offense has, I'm gonna just blow it up from the middle. That's kind of what I do. That's kind of what I've been doing throughout my career at UW. What you laughing at, Joe? But yeah, that's me. I'm a disruptor. I like to blow shit up.
I got you. That's why I called you Wreck-It Ralph, man. But yeah, man, four of my favorite prospects in this draft. We got Keith Taylor Jr. We got Levi Onwuzurike, Joe Tryon, Elijah Molden. I appreciate each of you guys coming on. Wish you the best. When is Pro Day?
30th.
March 30th. Yeah. There it is right there. All right, well, you guys, man, keep plugging along, man. Hopefully, man, that would be dope if all four of you end up here, but you know the chances of that aren't likely. But if any of you guys end up here, I'll be happy to cover you, man. So you guys take care, man. Appreciate you.
Sir, appreciate it.
All right, for sure.
Have a good one.